We feel like there's an opportunity for a lot of innovation kind of broadly among software developers to come up with monitoring tools and ways to empower consumers to ensure that they're getting kind of the open access to the internet that all consumers should be entitled to. So the idea here was, rather than simply having the agency itself monitor, investigate, use its enforcement powers to protect internet openness, we should really encourage a more open process consistent with the values of the open internet that kind of harnesses the broader internet community to preserve the internet's openness.
And so this challenge wouldn't be directed at Joe, average person out there. And you're reaching out to a fairly unique group of folks who could build these apps and know how to do this, right?
That's probably right. Probably someone with some software development expertise is the target for the apps part. There's actually a second part of the challenge, which is a challenge for research papers that would analyze the best way to design the internet openness apps to ensure their effectiveness. That's probably something that academics, maybe college students or graduate students, would be interested in taking up.
And give folks a sense, when we're talking about apps that would help consumers monitor and protect internet openness, what are we talking about there? Because it sounds sort of ephemeral. It sounds sort of, to a dumb guy like me, it's like, what exactly does that mean?
Sure. Well, let me start with how the FCC has defined internet openness in the rulemaking proceeding that we just concluded. We basically said there's three kind of core elements that are required for an open internet, and that is elements that ensure that consumers, innovators, can access the content they want on the internet, can have basic information about how their broadband connection works, and can have confidence that broadband providers aren't picking winners and losers online.
Right.
It's the idea of innovation without permission, and really the freedom that's characterized the internet since its inception.
So the real concern was that a carrier might say have deals with certain people, and so those are given priority over other kinds of traffic.
Right. So that's one example we've actually had concerns about. Another is broadband providers blocking access to particular content or applications, particularly applications that might compete with, say, a voice or a cable TV mm-hmm. service that the broadband provider offers. So that's the concern. And to address that concern and ensure that the internet remains free and open, notwithstanding these risks, the commission adopted three simple rules. The first is that broadband providers must disclose kind of relevant information about broadband service. Are there certain applications that may not work as well because of bandwidth constraints or latency constraints than others? What speed should you actually be getting through your connection? A second rule prevents broadband providers from blocking access to content, subject to reasonable network management and the idea that providers need to be able to manage their networks to ensure that spam and other threats to the user experience don't crowd out beneficial uses.
Right.
And then third is a rule that broadband providers can't unreasonably discriminate against lawful content, applications, or services. They can't, as you say, pick winners and losers. They can't favor an affiliate and speed up that content and disfavor a competitor and slow that down. So this has been a long way of answering, I guess, your question, but the idea here is that you could use software tools, what we call open internet apps, to empower consumers and entrepreneurs and innovators to determine if any problematic conduct that would involve blocking or unreasonably discriminating is actually occurring out there in the marketplace, or, as we hope, broadband providers are acting consistent with these principles, treating traffic as they should.
This is a very difficult question because we're sort of envisioning something that this is why you did the challenge, to find out what people would suggest. But it's almost something that, so I'm getting something slow and I could almost go on my iPhone or whatever and almost create kind of an alert kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. So you might say, is VoIP, is my Skype application, which is one of the most common voice over IP applications, is that application working as it should over my fixed or mobile broadband connection? Or does it appear that it's getting slowed or actually blocked when other traffic is coming through? if that were the case, I think you'd have real concerns, and we would have concerns, that there might be something problematic afoot. These tools would allow you to check that. And they're consistent with some things we're already seeing develop in the marketplace. So there's tools like Netalyzer, Glassnost, a project called Herdict, Verdict with an H, that's run out of the Berkman Center up at Harvard. These are all efforts to kind of harness the power of the public to identify these types of issues that may be existing on the internet.
And we'll have the link to the challenge so people can find it nice and easy and read more information about it on our website, DoraBeckInsider.com. Why do this as a challenge?
You know, I think we had a couple sources of inspiration for this. One is that we had put out some of our own apps for testing the speed of a broadband connection. And these apps, which are available at broadband.gov, which is the website we set up for our national broadband plan, saw a lot of success, a lot of usage by consumers. We've had over 1 million tests where people on their iPhones or Droids or on their home computers have tested the actual speed of their broadband connection, reported that data to a database that can be used to look at how speeds are changing over time or by region. It seemed like a success, and it was something we wanted to build on. I guess the second kind of source here was the administration, and particularly the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the White House, which has a commitment to prizes and to challenges as an innovative way to spur innovation. So they've set up the challenge.gov website. Congress recently passed the reauthorization of the Competes Act, which makes it easier for all agencies throughout government to run these types of challenges. And it seemed like this was the kind of problem where you're looking for broad-based innovation, empowering consumers, that kind of lent itself to this model.
And walk people through, this isn't an open-ended thing. There are deadlines and things like that.
That's right. So we've announced it, and the submission period, when folks can actually start sending in their apps or their research, will open on February 1st. It'll run to June 1st. Then we'll have a judging period in the early summer, and we'll announce winners in August.
And we should note there's a people's choice, too. So there'll be a mechanism for people to actually say, hey, this one's cooler than the others.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So we're very excited. There's already been a number of supporters, which is kind of like choosing to like something on Facebook.
Yeah.
We have over 150 of those, and we think it's off to a good start. But we're excited to see what comes next.
And how do you get this out to folks who are these developers, these nerdy people who actually do this kind of stuff? How do you get this out so they know about it, so they're get them excited about it?
Yeah, it's a great question. We were actually just talking about our strategy in that area this week. I think we're going to be trying to do some blog posts that raise awareness of this. We're going to reach out to folks in the software development community, including some academics and others who have prominent blogs or otherwise kind of visible in the space. Let them know what we're doing, encourage them to inform others about it, and I think we'll hopefully see in places like Slashdot, which is a blog that or a website, rather, that includes a lot of content for the software development community. We're hoping we see some recognition and uptake there. So I just wanted to put in a plug for one other challenge that we've launched. This one actually predated the Open Internet Apps Challenge, and it's a challenge for the development of cloud computing services, technologies, and the like for people with disabilities. It's called Lifted by the Cloud. It's also on challenge.gov if you go to the FCC's portion, and we're excited about what we might see there as well.
And take people, because it's a cool idea, and I didn't even I had heard about it, but we just haven't had a chance to talk to you about it. This aims to essentially use cloud computing to help people with disabilities?
That's right, and I guess I should say this is really at the kind of presentation stage. So
yeah.
What we've got here on our challenge is a request for folks to develop kind of presentations that will explain how cloud computing can address some of the challenges for communications for the disabled. It builds on the recent Disability and Communication Act that Congress passed, and it's part of a broader effort at the FCC to implement that act and promote accessibility of communications for the disabled.